This is Turn It On.
And welcome to episode 45 of Turn It On. My name is Michael J. and this is my podcast. Thank you so much for joining me once again. We're coming to you as always from beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. And my new friends Brandy Sidorek and Katie Rocks of the Canadian country band Nice Horse are on the program today. But before we get to my chat with them, it's time for everybody's favorite segment of the show. Yes, boys and girls, this is
Stories from the Road!
And that, of course, is the world-famous jingle for Stories from the Road, continually proving that my sense of humor didn't really develop past a third-grade level. And today's story comes to you from my time in Florida as a full-time acoustic musician down there. I lived in Florida for about 13 years and played all over the place, pretty much wherever I could and wherever they would hire me. And I had a regular Sunday evening gig for a brief time in Tampa at a place called Ybor City, which happened to be in a small complex that was right upstairs from a comedy club. And on this particular Sunday, when I walked in, the bartender stopped me right away at the door and said, "Kevin Nealon is coming in to watch you play tonight." Yes, the Kevin Nealon. She told me that he'd been doing shows in the comedy club downstairs all weekend and had been upstairs every night after his show having drinks and checking out the live music. And apparently she kept telling him that he needed to come up on Sunday night to check me out. So lo and behold, about two songs into my first set, there he was, Kevin Nealon. Holy crap. Suddenly I was pretty nervous because I'd been a huge fan of Kevin's work in just about everything he'd done from his time on SNL to all his work in many, many films. And I shrugged it off the best that I could and I just kind of played my first set. And on my first break, rather than go talk to him, I chose instead to go sit with a couple of my female friends who made it out to the show that night. I guess I just didn't want to bother him. And much to our surprise, a couple of minutes later, Kevin made his way over to our table and asked if he could join us. And I mean, of course. So he sat with us and immediately started asking about the gear I was using. And I learned that he was a 6-string banjo player and also dabbled in guitar. So he wanted a tour of my acoustic pedal board. So I gladly walked him up on stage and gave him the rundown of just about everything I was using at the time. And we talked kind of just like two regular musicians would. And he very much was a regular guy. So we went and sat down and talked some more, and I was incredibly struck by the fact that he was a genuinely funny person, and I'll explain that. I'd known some lesser-known comedians at that point who, in social settings, kind of always felt the need to sort of turn on the funny, and to me, that never really played all that well. It always felt really forced to me personally, but this was a different kind of thing. Kevin was very funny in a natural way, and he had myself and my two friends laughing and smiling the whole time. I had done some scoring work a few years previous to this in Los Angeles for a sitcom pilot that never ended up getting sold, as is the fate of many of those kind of things. But I had worked with a guy named Paul Gay, who was a writer on the films Liar Liar and Heartbreakers, among a few others. And this was a piece of info that made its way into my conversation with Kevin that night when he asked me about my career. And without missing a beat, he stopped me and said, "Wait, Heartbreakers? I think I was in that movie." Which he was, and which he genuinely had to think about. And we all had a really great laugh over that one. And he continued to hang out for the rest of the night, which ended up being fairly quiet and not busy at the club, which worked out pretty well. He sat with my friends during my sets, and I joined them on my breaks for more laughter and more great conversation. And at the end of the night, he even helped me pack up my gear a little, which completely blew me away. I managed to grab a very quick photo with him before I left, which he was kind enough to do, and I'll post that on our website, tiopod.com, under the blog entry for this show, so you can take a look at it. And it was taken on a flip phone because that's what we had back then. So the quality's kind of grainy, but it is definitely me and Kevin Nealon. And that is the story of the time I got to hang out and play a somewhat private show for Kevin Nealon. And that's this week's installment of
Stories from the Road.
As I've mentioned in a few previous podcasts, I am going to run out of stories from the road soon, very soon. So if you're a musician or an entertainer or an artist of any kind and you listen to the show and you have an amusing story about yourself or somebody you know and you'd like to share it, please email it to me at mj@tiopod.com. That is letter M, letter J, at tiopod.com. Or you can also get me on the contact page at tiopod.com, and I will read them out. Honestly, I will. I mean it. All right, my very talented friends Katie Rocks and Brandy Sidorek of the all-female Canadian country band Nice Horse are on the show today. I met these ladies almost a year ago playing with Aaron Goodvin, and since that time we have shared quite a few stages up there. Katie and Brandy were in Nashville on a dog-sitting slash songwriting excursion, and we met up at the Airbnb where they were staying, and we had a really great talk. And I will say that the room we were in was a really live-sounding, spanky one. So I did my very best to tame the audio down a little bit, but part of the nature of doing remote podcasts that aren't in a studio like where I'm doing this intro is that I have to work with the situation that I've been handed, and it isn't always the most ideal sonically, but I think it sounds okay, all things considered. And I really love these ladies, and I'm a huge fan of their band, and hopefully you will be too at the end of this podcast. So, without further ado, this is me talking with Brandy Sidorek and Katie Rocks of Nice Horse.
No, you're totally fine. And I just, we're already going, so I just like I just like to roll it, because that way it's, you know, doing these, like, once people see the red light go on, I mean, now
everyone's like, oh, hello.
Hell, and it changes immediately. And, like, it's, okay, yeah, like, you know, so.
It's like, how do I say hi usually?
Right, feel free to be yourselves. Hi. Be 100% yourselves. I've actually never interviewed two people before at the same time either, so.
So this is groundbreaking.
This is groundbreaking stuff. Like, it could be complete disaster. I'm counting on you both to carry it, because I probably will suck terribly.
Well, you have met Nice Horse before, and you know we just are a complete disaster.
But in the best way, like I was saying earlier, I have to talk to them, because you're always fun and always in, you know, well, no, it's, I think I met you, it might have been a year ago, just about a year ago. I subbed in for Aaron's other guitar player.
I remember when that happened, and you were like, this is my first show. I hope I get to keep doing it.
Terrified.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Terrified. Because all of Aaron's songs start with drums and guitar riff. Like it's guitar and drums in at the top on all of them.
So you're it.
What show was that? Because I remember the conversation with you of being like, this is my first
it
show.
It was LeDuc. Is that how you
pronounce
it?
Yeah, LeDuc. Yeah. LeDuc.
That was that it?
That was probably
That was the Karma Concerts thing. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Wow. I thought it was longer ago.
No, just a year. Yeah. And it might have been, it's not quite a year now. I think it might have been April.
Yeah, it was.
You're right.
Yeah.
Don't look at me creepy, but I think it was April 27th.
Are you?
No, I'm actually serious.
Like that,
you know? I'm like, no, but it's because I do, like, I do most of the posting on our social media.
That's
and I
right.
have a memory of, like, and that was a particularly fun show to play.
That was fun, yeah. That was a good time.
And I'm like, yes.
She wrote in her calendar, met Michael J. today. That's how she knows.
I doubt it.
You'll never know.
I guess I'll never know. That girl's diary is very close to her heart.
Don't worry, you could also just go to our Instagram and we'll figure it out later.
So I guess the first question I'll ask you is, I know what it is for me, but being artists, kind of, most people that I know have something that you have to be driven to do this thing that we do by something, because nobody in their right mind would do it just to do it. So I think my question is, what are your problems? You know, what is it for both of you, for each of you individually, that drives you to keep doing this?
I'm surprised that you ask, like, this is just going to be a one question podcast.
And that's
Monday,
it. And then, yeah.
Because once we get through this problem session, we're going to be like, it's going to be 2 hours.
That's it. In fact, I'm going to let you go now. I'm just going to walk outside.
I feel like this is Brandy's sneaky way of getting me into therapy.
It might be.
It's a podcast, Katie. You just have to talk about your feelings.
Katie, we brought you here today because I'm looking around the room and I'm seeing a bunch of people that just care about you very much. And
all right,
it's an intervention.
It's an intervention.
Yeah.
Put the banjo down.
Right.
Go back to being a cat right. lady.
Is that something? Is that something that you could put into words, or do you know what it is for each of you? Or?
Yeah. You know what's so funny? And I think that the part about being in a girl band is that there is always a lot of talking and a lot of articulating your feelings.
Right.
And so I feel like this, what's your problem is actually something we've probably articulated yep. with each other so mm-hmm. often. For me, I feel like music feeds some of my personality traits that are maybe not my most, I don't think they're my most flattering traits, to be honest.
Okay.
Like as soon as I say this, Katie is going to be like, yep, that's it. I'm kind of OCD.
Okay.
I'm very regimented. Yeah, kind of OCD.
A little bit.
Don't worry. Later on, people will realize I'm fully OCD. I'm kind of OCD. I'm pretty regimented.
Yeah.
Very regimented.
We talked about this in an airport one morning. I think I was talking to both of you about like who does the scheduling and who does all the stuff. And
yeah,
so.
And like I'm kind of like everyone calls me Corporal Brandy. I feel like I'm very focused. I'm a very okay. focused individual, and music just it lets me use all of those traits. And to be honest, it actually is really helpful in a lot of things I do musically. It helps me advance. It's okay. helped me become a better musician, but it's also encouraged me uh-huh. and to believe that those are actually my best traits. You
sure.
know,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
that the fact that I am like this hyper focused, very regimented human is actually the best thing about me. And I'm like, well, there's probably in other situations, those traits might not be seen as
okay.
that, but in
sure.
music, they can be celebrated, which is crazy.
Right, right.
Yeah, but that is, they definitely, music does, I think, bring forward all of my, like, kind of eccentricities.
Okay.
Like, it really brings them right to the surface
yeah.
for me.
Yeah. What about you, Katie? What?
I don't know.
You don't know? Yeah.
Mm-mm.
No?
No, I've just always done music.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know. It's almost kind of like, well, you spend $1 million on lessons, you should probably see it through. Like, truthfully,
who did you take lessons with?
I know. But when you think about it, like, well, I think about the amount of money my parents have spent on me being a musician.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm, like, honestly, like, I don't know, because I actually tried to quit at one point.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm, yeah, before we started this band. Like, I'd just done music my whole life, and it was just, I took singing lessons, and then I was like, Mom, I'm gonna move to Los Angeles and be famous, and I just loved being in the spotlight, if I can be totally honest.
Sure.
Like, as a kid, I actually hated it at first.
Okay.
And the very first time I sang in front of people, I cried, ran to my mom. Like, I was like, I'm never doing this again.
Really?
And my mom was like, nope, you gotta get back up there and finish
so
what you started.
So your parents kind of got you, like, pushed you into it, sort of?
Not pushed me into it. I just did whatever my sister did. My sister was actually a very talented musician.
Okay.
And I just wanted to do whatever she did. And I was definitely not the most talented, but I was the most crazy. There's a video of me full of my sister singing this beautiful thing and me like in the background being like, la 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 la, like dancing like an idiot.
Yeah.
And then I did this, I sang in front of people and I hated it and I cried and I'll never forget it because I remember that moment I cried, I ran to my mom, I didn't finish the song. And then my mom was like, you gotta get up and finish. And so then after everybody else was done the recital, I got up and I went and did the song again. And my singing teacher gave me the Trooper of the Year award.
Oh, okay.
True story, I still have the Trooper award. And I...
She brings it with us on tour.
I was like, hey, just remember you guys, I'm a trooper. But I still told my mom I was never going to do it again. But she kind of kept me. I think my mom must have seen that there was maybe something there.
Yeah.
But she kept me in the lessons. And then this actually probably is still true to this day. Because then I went and I did another, like, a competition. And I won. And I remember thinking, oh, winning is very fun. I'm going to keep doing this.
Right. Okay.
And obviously, being a musician is all about winning. We all have learned that, right?
Yeah, clearly.
It's not about a series of failures. It's about winning all the time.
Yeah, and I just kind of kept doing it. But, like,
I say this all the time, and whether it's that thing they call imposter syndrome that's a common thing with women, or whether it's true.
I have it too.
Okay,
you do. Big time.
It's one of the things we talk about a lot being in our band, because I do think, and it's awesome, like, I'm not saying it's awesome, it's so great to hear you have it too.
Apparently it's very much a woman thing.
It's very prevalent, I think, in... It does tend to be very prevalent in women, and we do discuss how it's hard to like kind of get beyond that and to just let it go, because a lot of it is just so in your own head.
Sure.
And how nervous you really are, like how crippling it can be.
Oh, it's the worst thing ever. It's the worst thing ever. In my experience, I have heard that it's a female thing. I don't know what that says about me. Maybe it says that I'm in touch with my feminine side. I've been playing guitar in front of people I've been playing guitar since I was like a third grader.
Right.
And I've been playing piano since even before that. And I was in bands all growing up and all doing all that, the whole thing. And I have tons of experience. I have played to 60,000 people. I've played to, you know, in clubs to 3 people. For many, many, many years. Yeah. And yet still, I'm worried on stage in the current gig with Aaron that, like, someone's going to find me out that, like, oh, you're just a fraud and that you're no good. Or you don't belong here.
It's unreal how common that is. What do you do to, like, combat it in those moments? What do you do?
I don't combat it very well. I don't deal with it very well. I have to kind of remind myself that, like, okay, you know, and I talk to one of my best friends all the time. He's very level-headed and very, he's very good at going, you're being stupid. Like, he'll just tell me, you're being stupid. Like, oh, like, you've got to play guitar tonight? You haven't been doing that for 35 years. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of thing. So I lean on my friends. I lean on a couple of my friends who are pretty good at calling my bullshit out when I, you know. But I still suffer from it, you know. I mean, and I play with the guys in Aaron's band are all great musicians.
Of course, yeah.
So, and we don't, I think it's a guy thing. We don't necessarily pat each other on the back all the time.
Like, well, there's where my masculine side might be coming out too.
Is it? Okay.
I will say, well, because I am not a pat you on the back sort of person.
Sure.
And this also I feel is like, I went through music in... Like, I went through classical music, like, my master's degree is in opera.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, so, like, okay. It was always...
So, you're studied. You're like...
Yeah, you're so, like, well, yeah, I guess yeah. I got some... I paid some money to get some pieces of paper that...
No, but you know.
...really useful in my career.
But you know a lot.
You're doing it right now. I mean, really, if you think about it... Yeah, right.
But it is, like, I feel like if you're doing a good job... No one says anything. It's only when, to me, I that's where I kind of thrive. It's like,
sure.
Everyone just, the bare minimum is just doing your job, which is doing it right.
Yeah.
And then it's only when you're not doing your job when someone should say something. That's,
okay.
I will say, and that is not always, I'm very willing to admit that that is not always the best option for everyone.
Yeah.
And we struggled with that as a band when we first started.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. Because as you know, we're not like, we haven't been a band for very long.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Just for a little while.
I like positive reinforcement. Right, Brandy? Am I doing a good job with this podcast so far?
You're doing great.
Hold on. My silence is a silent approval. It's true. It was interesting. We were all 3.5 years ago when we started this band. We were all in different projects.
Right.
With the exception of Krista and I. Krista and I were in a project together.
Oh, you were? Okay.
We were.
What was that like? Was that country?
It was an indie pop band.
Oh, okay.
And I played French horn and sang, and Krista played.
At the same time?
Well, you know, back and forth. And Krista played bassoon and ran it through guitar pedals, and she would, like, solo on the bassoon. It was, like, kind of made it more of a synthy thing.
Is there somewhere I can find this to listen to it? Or does it exist?
It exists. Yeah, it exists. It's funny because that band is not active anymore. But since starting this band, one of the songs that we had on one of our records is actually now the theme song for a major Korean television show that's syndicated on Netflix right now. And so it's funny, that band actually has had a hilarious little like online resurgence from like K-pop fans.
Isn't it funny that you just never know where things are going to end up sometimes? Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I mean, we all try to control the career and try to control all this stuff. And the thing that you never expect that's going to be the thing is the...
And that's this band.
Yeah.
Like, this band was not meant to be a band.
Well, so let's go back to the beginning. And so how did you put this all together?
Well, like, Brandy and I, we have known each other the longest. Mm-hmm. Because her and I have been friends for over 10 years. And we met, I'll make it short because this whole story is actually quite long. But we met because she saw me on Breakfast Television one morning. Like, I was playing a show. Uh-huh. I was on Breakfast Television in Calgary. She saw it. For some weird reason, she thought I looked like a nice person.
What's Breakfast Television?
Oh, is this so a Canadian it's, thing? Yeah, it's okay. A morning television.
Oh, okay. Just so what, like a morning, like morning, the morning show.
Morning
okay.
TV show.
Okay.
It's called Breakfast Television. Yeah, okay. that's what this particular show is called.
Okay, sorry.
So we're on morning television. Yeah. Right. I'm on morning television because I'm playing a show that night in Calgary. Brandy sees me on TV, thinks I look like a nice person.
I thought you were a good musician. I thought you were a good player. I liked your songs.
Silence.
I didn't know how nice you were.
So she came and she watched me play and she introduced herself afterwards, and it was the way only Brandy and I could meet. She walked up to me and she said, "Hey, we should be friends." And I said, "Great, give me your phone number." So she gave me her phone number. A week later, I was playing a show and I thought, oh, I could actually have somebody join me on this. I texted her and I was like, "Hey, you want to come play the show with me?" And she said, "Sure." And we just became best friends. And
that's great.
Yeah, that's swear to God, I can remember all of this. And so we would refer to ourselves as musical allies. So we were always like, Brandy and I would meet when she was living in Vancouver. I live in Vancouver. She doesn't live there anymore, but I still do. And we would meet once a week and we'd have these sushi dates. And we would like just exchange contacts, like people that we had met, or just talk to each other about the trials and tribulations of our career.
Yeah, like, what are you working on? How can I help? Like,
oh, cool. Okay.
And I was doing like a country solo singer-songwriter thing. She was doing her crazy French horn pop band.
Which was super commercial, might I add.
But we were just...
That's amazing.
We're just buddies, and we were just there for each other. We were both real go-getters, and so we fed off of each other's energy and willingness to help each other. And that was how I met Krista, our drummer, because she was playing in Brandy's band. And we were like that for years. We would go to conferences and share hotel rooms. Mm-hmm. Brandy would play bass for me sometimes when I needed a bass player.
Cool.
So we were just... I can hardly remember a life without Brandy in it, though I remember the day we met. But we just... We were just there for each other. And I actually decided to stop doing music altogether. I was like, you know, I've pursued this thing since I was a kid, and maybe there's something else that's out there for me, and I've not paid attention to it because I've been so focused on this one thing. And it's like other people in careers change jobs all the time. They go from like doing one office job to another, and nobody questions it.
Right.
But it had to be a big thing for me to make this announcement that I was like, I'm not going to do music anymore. I want to open up my horizons, and maybe I'd make a really good something else. And I just don't know it because I've had tunnel vision on music.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. And like 6 months later, Brandy sends me an email or text message or whatever. And she's like, "So I'm going to Hawaii to do some songwriting. Do you want to come?"
And this, at this point, Krista and I, we had decided to step away from our project because it was just, the bassoon French horn project was just so infinitely popular, we couldn't even handle it. But we had kind of taken a step away, and I thought, you know what, maybe this is a really good time to really focus on myself as a writer and developing myself as a writer. And because I'd always written, but I had never devoted the time, you know, when you're doing all of it, and when you're your own DIY, you don't get to always devote all of that time to the real disciplines that you want to. So I decided to go. I rented out my house for a month, and I rented a house in Hawaii for a month, and I would love to say, and sometimes we do kind of say that it just happened, but the truth is, I did have an ulterior motive. Like, I invited the girls out to write with me because I believed in all of them. And we were all kind of at this we were all at this transition point in our musical careers.
Sure.
And I thought it was a real opportunity for us to inspire each other and possibly create something really cool. Mm-hmm. And so I called up this retired snowbird over here.
Yeah.
And I knew how to get her because I said, hey, do you want to come to Hawaii? And maybe also write some songs.
Yeah. Right. And I go to Hawaii all the time. I was actually already in Hawaii when she called me.
Were you really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I can island hop and I'll come over and join you.
Why do you go to Hawaii a lot?
Because why?
She's obsessed.
Okay.
Hawaii.
I've never been there. Okay. I have friends
when you
who
go,
live there. So.
You'll understand. Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's the best place on earth.
Sure.
It's like, it's amazing. I love it. And so I'm like, yeah, I can songwrite. That's innocent enough. Like, I don't have to do anything else.
Right. That's how I got her, everybody.
And so we just, and I love her. So I was like, yeah, this girls trip for a week in Hawaii, that'd be fun. And it was a blast. Like, we were literally drinking Mai Tais, going paddleboarding. Like, I bet you half the trip we don't remember.
Sure.
Like, thank God for, like, Apple voice notes, because that's how we knew we wrote songs. Because we were just having a good time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all the songs were just uninhibited because we didn't care.
Right.
Like, so there was, like, the songs we wrote, like, we wrote a song called Married to My Truck. Like, yeah. But we just didn't care.
Right.
And so it was just fun songwriting. And when the trip was done, we were like, well, those are some pretty good songs, and we all kind of went our separate ways, but we started talking about how, like, well, maybe we could, like, rather than focus on this as a serious thing, why don't we just go try to make some money and just be a drunk Stampede band, like the Calgary Stampede, which is where Brandy, the rest of the girls lived in Calgary except for me.
Okay.
And the Calgary Stampede is, like, a huge
thing. Yep, we played it last year.
You know.
Yeah, right. So we just thought, once a year, this makeshift sloppy band would come out. Yeah. Once a year, we'd surface. We'd play some songs, make a couple of bucks, and then we'd just sink back into the abyss until the next year.
Yeah, like, and I was like, that's cool. That'll maybe kind of feed my, like, musical, like, need, you know, because I'll just play this band with my friends. It'll be no big deal.
Right.
But it's like, if you've ever met Brandy and I, we don't know how to do music as a hobby. Are you kidding? Like, it was literally, like, came back, and it's like, okay, we need to make demos, and we need to make a music video, and we better put a press kit together.
That comes across. No, I get that right away. I mean,
God. Yeah. And we're like, this hobby band? We were like, when you look at it now, it's like, none of us thought this was a hobby. And it was like, no, but we didn't know how to do music any other way.
Right.
Except for the way we thought you needed to do it, which was get a press kit together, get music, because we need people to book us.
Sure.
So we put this whole thing together, like this hobby thing we took very seriously, and we sent it off to a company called Coalition, and they manage Simple Plan, Our Lady Peace, Justin Azuka, Finger 11, their global scale management company.
Right. And our relationships with them had gone a long way back as well. Like, Katie and Eric, one of the managers there, were really close because Katie's good friends with Sebastian from Simple Plan, and Eric was very much a sounding board for you throughout your musical career. Mm-hmm. And Katie actually introduced us to another manager there, Liam, and for Krista and I, he became our sounding board. So we had, like, they had never managed us, but they were always there for us anytime we needed them. Like, we could literally call those guys at any hour of the night.
Right.
And they would take our call, and they would help us through, like, whatever these, like, little DIY bands were doing.
Right.
Like, they were just those sort of people.
Sure.
Yeah. So we're like, let's send it to them, because they'll maybe know who we can call to, like, book these shows.
Right.
And so we sent them our concept. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, again, four women.
Yeah.
Each playing our own instrument.
Right.
So us not realizing it was unique, because I think, I don't know if we had blinders on, I listen to country music. Why I didn't know that we were the only self-contained... Yeah. Blows my mind, because Brandy and I very much know and love country music, but I just...
It's also not how we listen. We're not listening being like, where's the gap? Like, where's the void in country music? Like, we just listen and we love.
Right.
Yeah, and so we started looking, and we realized we were the only one. But while we were doing that, I think Coalition must have been looking too, because we sent them the project, and Eric's like, call me now. And I called him, and he just was like, you guys should stop everything else you've been doing. And if you guys decide to take this seriously, we'll be your management.
Wow.
And for them, like, they are one of the most amazing management companies. They're so highly respected. Uh-huh. And we know that. And they manage artists who, like, have global careers. Mm-hmm. And so for them to be like, you take this seriously, we'll be there with you. And that's when we were like, well, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even still, I think I still kept saying, I'm retired, right, but I'll be there for the gigs.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I still... It's, that's slowly, like, she still says it about once every 8 to 10 months. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I was retired, she says.
Well, right. What I say is, I am retired, and I'm very busy with my retirement project.
Right. You've mentioned a couple things now that struck me. And I think this is weird, because I've experienced some of this, too, in my career, if you want to call it that, is that, like, when you're...
There's your imposter syndrome.
Well, there,
yeah,
it is.
Sure,
there
if is. You want, yeah, to call it that.
Well, it seems like the coolest stuff happens. Like, you were talking about writing in Hawaii and saying that, like, we just didn't care. And and some great stuff was born out of that. And now, same kind of thing with, you know, like well, we have this sloppy band that we're going to throw together. And you're not doing giving yourself much credit with that, because I've listened to you. I was actually jamming your stuff on the way over here. Oh. And you have some gorgeous songs. Like, I knew the Nice Horse that I saw, you know, on stage at those couple things we did, which was like, okay, let's get this bunch of people kind of going. But you have some really gorgeous, like, I think the song is Tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get these titles wrong.
That's okay.
You know what's funny, though, about Tonight is that that is actually that's one of those songs we wrote in Hawaii.
Is it really?
Yes. And it's that's gorgeous. Actually, I think that might be the only song on the record, mm-hmm, that is one of those Hawaii songs. But that one was...
Yeah, was it? Okay.
Yeah, that one is like a...
That was Brandy and Krista. I had already gone home at that point.
Okay.
But that was a song that came out of that trip.
Yeah. Well, the record sounds great. I mean, I have to confess, I hadn't really listened to much.
Because you had to listen to enough of us live.
Well, no, that wasn't it. I was like, well, you know, maybe I'll open up Spotify, and I followed you as well. I was like, okay, cool. I'll check this out on the way over here. And I was like, well, this is great. Like, it sounds really great. So
thank you.
You know, so, what happened after that once you got the management? Like, did things start to...
We went straight to number one, best fucking country band ever.
Well, Canada's a very interesting thing to me, and I've only experienced it really in the last 7 or 8 months or 9 months.
Listeners, I'm just kidding. We did not go straight to number one. I don't even think we cracked the top 100.
Yes, we did.
Oh.
I think we were 98.
Great.
Well, that's...
98.
You know, that's awesome, you know?
Now you're experiencing the whole Canadian country music.
Kind of, yeah. I'm from upstate New York originally. I grew up in Rochester, New York. So I grew up an hour and a half from the Canadian border. We used to go there to drink when we were 19 because the drinking age was, you know. So I dated a girl whose parents, or her mom and her stepdad, lived 3 hours north of Toronto. So I spent a lot of time in the depths of Canada growing
up. Yeah.
And so I'm familiar with it's a very familiar... It's not far removed from the States as far as culturally, but you have a vibe in Canada that's a specific thing, and it's hard to explain it. But it was very familiar to me. So when I started playing with Aaron, it was like, oh, I'm like, this is very comfortable.
It felt like a kind of home in a sense, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So give me a sense of like, because Canada... Some people listening are Americans and probably won't know what the hell it's like, but it's...
It's a country just north of you. It doesn't actually snow everywhere.
Thank you. It's 4 times the landmass of the United States, but 1/10 the population.
Yes. Exactly. Thank you. People don't live in most of our country, mm-hmm, because it's too cold, but not all of us live there. But there are a lot of cold places to go.
I was in one last week. It was -5. We were in Alberta last week.
-5. It's -38 right now in Alberta.
Well, is that Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Celsius.
But at what
Celsius.
Point do they but become the same? When -40 is -40. Isn't that the thing?
They get to a point where, yeah, they are the same thing.
And like, I think it's
don't worry, guys. Googling it.
-40 is just awful no matter how you slice it.
I think so, because what was that? Who's that kid's book, 40 Below Zero? What was that?
Oh, Robert Munsch?
Robert Munsch. And I think
he's Canadian.
Oh, he is?
He
is, yeah.
He's American. That might be it. Yeah, here we go with our Canadianism.
No, it's good.
Anyways, so what were you asking? Sorry, I derailed.
No, I was just going to ask about, like, do you still have the Canadian content law thing? Like,
yes, we do.
Okay,
yeah.
So mm-hmm. So that's got to help, right? As far as, like, does that just say that anybody who's Canadian can get on the radio or can be helped by the, or...
It's a bit of
means there are spots available, but it's
okay.
But no more and no less. So read into that what you will.
Yeah.
No more.
No more.
No less.
Yeah. So
got that?
Yeah.
So it can be a little bit challenging at the same time because we are, how you say, like, there are a lot of things that aren't that much different between like the US and Canada.
Right.
We are highly influenced by the culture in the US too, uh-huh, and the music coming out of there. So we're always kind of contending. It's always contending like that and maintaining like this, mm-hmm, balance between like showcasing and highlighting our Canadian born artists.
Right.
While, like, you know, because it is very easy to get, I think, a bit buried under what's coming from our neighbors and stuff.
Well, there's so much stuff now, mm-hmm, and it's so hard to find the good. Sometimes you have to dig through a lot of stuff to find things, mm-hmm, kind, mm-hmm, of. I mean, anybody with a computer can put out a record now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the advantage of us having 1/10 the population is that it is, I do feel like, and also the way our country is set up in terms of touring, mm-hmm, because it is harder for Canadian artists to come to the US.
Right.
The visa situation is very challenging. Like, it's to come south to north, mm-hmm, is easier than to go north to south.
Right.
And so you're at the beginnings of your career, you are, you're required, like, it to build your career, you tour Canada. And with 4 times the landmass and 1/10 of the population, right, you've got a real big challenge.
Yeah.
And so we are, our country kind of naturally curates our music.
Right.
Because you, like, only the strong survive. Like, you're not driving from Vancouver to Newfoundland, in January and February, in the bitter cold, with,
right,
like, you know, like, contending with snowstorms, and if you're not in it, like, if you're not
right,
really,
yeah,
dedicated.
Yeah.
And I remember somebody saying something, and I don't want this to come across to, like, rah, 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 Canada.
Sure.
But I remember someone saying to me, and it was an American, talking about, because Canadians have to work so hard,
uh-huh,
to break into the US from the things like our work visas,
right,
and everything, that you will often see Canadians, when they do, they are at the top. And if you look, who's one of the biggest rappers? Drake.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you look at, like, who are some of the biggest, like, AC of all time? Michael Bublé, Celine Dion.
Yeah, sure.
And if you,
yeah,
look at country music, Shania Twain.
Right, right.
Like, it's like Canadians have to work so,
yeah,
hard that they often do Justin Bieber. Like, they rise to the top, but I just listed about 10.
No, that's great. I've seen it in little bits with Aaron now, with, I mean, we go to Canada and people lose their minds, and, mm-hmm, we're in airports and people think, you know, like, they want photos with all,
totally,
of us, and, oh, you know, like, oh my God. And even the customs agents are like, what are you doing here? You know, like, oh, we're playing some shows with Aaron Goodman. They're like, ooh,
yeah,
you know, like, oh, we know that guy. Mm-hmm. But then it's really funny to cross over into the States and nobody knows, or very few people know.
Yeah.
People know, but they're kind of spotty. So, and it's sort of like starting from scratch. We were having this conversation in a bar after a show on one of the last, you know, one of the last runs. And it was like, he's going to have to prove it all over again.
I know. Mm-hmm. And that's a thing. And the great thing is about Aaron is that,
He digs in and works hard, and he's gonna do it. Sure,
like,
sure.
Which is amazing. But it is funny. It is really funny how we in the North, like, we know what's going on down here.
Right, right.
Because we just have to. It's really important for,
yeah,
our careers. And even if you're just a passive listener, you know the up and comers,
mm-hmm,
right,
coming from the US. Whereas I often see, and I'm in the military, and I have a lot of friends.
Are you really? Okay.
I am, yeah.
Okay.
And I have some friends in the military in the US. And I remember at one point showing them, like, I just put on a playlist, and, uh-huh, they all love country music, and,
yeah,
they didn't know half the songs. And I was like, how could you not know these incredibly popular songs? And then I realized that, like, 50% of my playlist is Canadian and
they
just never anything that they've been,
right,
exposed to.
Right.
Which is, it's crazy because it's impossible for a Canadian to not be exposed to American music, but it doesn't go
the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Yeah, growing up, I mean, I'm a huge fan of a lot of Canadian stuff, but maybe because I lived closer to the border.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I got, you know, Rush and Bryan Adams and that was a band called Honeymoon Suite that I loved way back in the day. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, yeah. So, like, fill me in on what's it been like now to have a record out and, you know, are you making moves to try and, you probably are, to try and cross over into the U.S.? Like, what's going on in that department?
Yeah, well, and it's so funny because when we talk about making moves to cross over the U.S., for us, we made a very concerted effort to come down here as much as we possibly could. And we come down here, the next step after coming down here as frequently as we do is living here. Because Katie and I are down here once a month, and we've been doing this for almost a year now, where we come down once a month to write. We're usually here for about a week. This month happens to be longer. I'm here for almost half a month. But,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But we have made this really concerted effort to be present here, because I think that that's really important. And we want to meet the players.
Well, Nashville is the center of the musical universe.
Absolutely.
Now. There's LA and New York have kind of... Uh-huh. Tapered off, almost ceased to exist. In fact, a lot of people from LA are now living here.
Yeah, totally.
There's been a mass exodus from there over here. So
yeah, and so I think
that's smart. I think that's
Yeah, and really, you know, we're a band. We're a developing band, like a band that's been around for only 3.5 years, and that's 3.5 years since we were like a twinkle in anybody's eye, right? Like it was we certainly did not have music 3.5 years ago. So I think but right away we knew how important it would be to kind of be here. And we worked really hard and we're really dedicated. And so the idea of coming down here and finding any way to do it was our prerogative. And we really have found any way to do it.
Yeah.
Cause to make it affordable for us, we dog sit for people while we're down here. And it's funny because that's actually like we're in a house where this was the first house that we dog sat in as a
I was greeted by two very lively pups on the way.
They are so lively.
I got bitten in the face on one of my podcasts by a dog.
Oh no.
A girl that was a female artist I used to work with was dog sitting for this dog, and she's like, he just doesn't like men. And
oh,
so
no.
my nature is like, I'm going to make friends with it. Like he'll like me.
You're like, I have a feminine side.
And so I made the mistake of like, I got down on my knees and got down on his level and was like, oh buddy, it's okay. And I felt the moment. I felt it. Like I was face to face with this dog down on his level. And I was like, I had, you know, had his head like this and I was kind of doing this and he kind of gave me a, and I went, oh shit. I'm like, I can't stand up. I'm like, I won't be able to stand up fast enough. And I tried to, and as soon as I did, he lunged at me and bit my cheek.
Oh no!
I have a friend who actually, no joking, got half of his nose bit off by a dog, same situation.
Oh, yeah.
Like he has full on, like, had to have
surgery. I love dogs. I love them. I'm glad those dogs love me, because it was like,
yeah, they're cool. Very they're lovely. Good. And we joke about them, like, having a lot of energy, and like, the thing is, I actually think they're like us in dog form. There's a blonde and a brunette, and they're both fucking crazy.
You're not crazy.
We are a little crazy.
Are you? What? Well, again, I think you'd have to be to do the stuff we do, because I don't think most people realize what goes into it. It's a lot of, you know, 90, you know, I've said this till I'm blue in the face on many podcasts at this point, so people who listen regularly are going to be like, he's talking that shit again. But it's 99% of your day is spent not doing the thing that you're out there to do in the first place. Mm-hmm. You're traveling, or you're doing interviews, or you're just riding in a car, or you're sleeping, or you're, you know, whatever.
You're on your laptop, or you're running your business. It's a business. That's
it
what people
business.
Forget.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is not just like, I tell people even who show up and they just want to like drink beer and party. Like, I'm like, this backstage is our office. Like, when we're on stage there, like, this is this is our business, and right. we care a lot about our business.
Sure, sure.
Which is why we work hard and maybe call ourselves crazy, like, because, and why we are doing what we're doing of coming down here once a month. And people look at it and they don't think about music or art as being a business, but mm-hmm. it is.
And well, yeah, there's a stigma that goes along with it that, yeah, you must be partying and going crazy every night, you know?
And it's also crazy because you there's almost, with that, almost becomes this responsibility of doing both. You're like,
right.
It's like people expect you to be like the life of the party.
Oh, right.
And like, party pumpers, as we like to call it. But you also have so many other things bubbling under the surface that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think it always ends up not being one or the other.
Right.
It's almost, sometimes ends up being both. Like, mm-hmm. you're like, I don't let this go, but I also have to do all of this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it can be super overwhelming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's hard to know where to put your effort and your time.
Right.
Sometimes.
How do you balance the rest of your life? Are you both married? You're married. Okay.
Married, and I have a long-term boyfriend.
Okay, right. I think I met them both maybe at the first show.
You did, actually.
They were very very nice. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. But so how do you balance that? Is that tough to kind of?
Yeah, the word balance, I don't even know if it's really in my vocabulary.
Yeah.
And I feel very lucky. And I know Katie can totally agree with this on her side too. I feel very lucky because my partner is also a musician. He's in a country band. And,
okay.
So
he understands what goes into it.
He's very understanding. Kind of, I've not always felt like I've dated a lot of musicians. Mm-hmm. I've mostly dated musicians, I suppose.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, let's all of us apologize on behalf of ourselves for being terrible people to date.
That's right.
But I've not always felt so supported, mm-hmm. but he is very supportive, and he is very accepting of my drive and my craziness. And I know that you feel the same way in your relationship.
Yeah. He's an artist as well, but not a... He's an actor.
Okay.
Whatever that is. Just kidding. No, but just like...
Is he a famous actor?
No, he did pretty well, though.
He was in... This is my favorite one, and I don't watch a lot of movies, but he was in... What is it called? Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, he was in that movie, really?
Yeah, his head goes completely around. Like, it's...
Oh, that's awesome.
He doesn't do it anymore.
It doesn't do that anymore? Okay.
He doesn't act anymore.
Oh, I thought you meant his head doesn't go around anymore.
No. It doesn't. Firmly on straight. But I don't know. It's just like you, like, I guess, like, Brandy and I both are very independent women. And mm-hmm. I think that you probably entered your relationship as an independent woman. And so did I. I've actually never dated a musician. Oddly enough.
Yeah. Good for you.
I'm sure I had crushes on some.
Yeah, right.
But I can't think of like...
Learn a thing or two for
yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
I never really did. But I just think like... I don't know. You just got to do what you got to do. Like, I don't really know what more there is to say than that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't think either one of us would be in relationships that couldn't handle it. And I started my relationship being on tour. Like, I was in a band before this that was mm-hmm. like... totally different genre, but it was very successful in mm-hmm. Canada. And I was in, I met Colby when I was in that band. And so I was already on a band that like had me on tour, like, and he was acting that had him,
so
you know, like,
it was like that at the start. So it kind of,
and we can't spend too much time together. We drive each other crazy. But, I don't know how people do that.
But honestly, thank goodness that we have people in our lives, and it's not just our partners, like Katie was saying, how
sure.
supportive her parents are. We're all really lucky to have very supportive families.
Right.
And it's because there isn't a balance. I don't think I've struck a balance, whatever
right.
it is.
Yeah.
I'm happy with the way my life is.
Yep.
I don't care to have a balance. That's not something that I'm
okay. Yeah,
pursuing.
I get that.
But it's
see, I'm obsessed with the idea of balance. I can't. I'm desperately trying to find it all the time, and I fail.
And I think I don't know. And maybe it's because I feel like I can't turn it off. So I don't know how to achieve a balance when I'm if I'm like, I can try to do something else and put myself somewhere else and take this time. But I'm my physical person is there, but my brain is often not. And I'm not sure I quite know how to separate the two. And maybe that will come. Maybe that'll be something that I will allow myself to do at some point, to really like not always be there. But I do find it one of my biggest challenges is just turning off my brain. The best part about being in a band for apparently an addict like me, because it appears to be that I cannot like.
Well, I think that's what we all are that way.
Yeah, you know,
there's all that little. That's what I was getting at the beginning. Yeah, is that like, there's a little chip in our soul that's missing that we keep trying to fill with this thing, and I don't know what that. I mean, I know what my reasons are, but it's like, you know, my dad always said, you don't choose music, it chooses you.
I absolutely feel that.
And I don't know what that is or why, you know, we're all this insane to keep doing it. But it is, when it pays off, it's the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, and those payoffs are maybe just little small things. It's maybe winning over an audience, or like a little moment in a show that's like you realize you're actually getting across to somebody something, like there's that it's like an energy exchange.
Yeah. And I feel those incremental payoffs all the time. Like there's and I think maybe this is what the band helps in establishing some semblance of balance for me, but also it also feeds my desire to just like and drive, is because I mean any time of day I know that I can contact one woman in my band, at least one,
right,
and I know that like they're thinking on the same wavelength like me, and like so we just feed each other,
right?
Like, Katie and I do it all the time. Krista and I will do it. I know sometimes Tara and I will be talking at like 1 a.m. about like this live production thing that we want to do in the show, and it's going to be so cool. And there's always one like you. So if you want to talk about it, if you want someone to inspire you and feed you, you have people around you
all
the time that will do it.
Yeah.
Like, there's always somebody feeding your habit. There's that's the thing about the band.
Well, that's the best thing about Nashville too, is that you come here and that's what I loved about moving here, was that I suddenly felt like I didn't have to explain myself to people anymore.
Yeah.
Like when I lived elsewhere, when people would say, what do you do? And I would say I was a musician, they would they wouldn't verbalize it exactly like this, but it would sort of, they'd give you a look like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like what else do you do? Like kind of oh, that must be so hard. What else do you do? And in Nashville, you're just around a bunch of like-minded artistic people. And it's the best, it's just the best feeling.
Time saving, because you don't have to explain.
Well, and you don't like, because everybody, because everybody here either knows somebody that does it, or they do it themselves, or they're married to someone that does it, or their cousins, uncles, fathers, brothers, you know,
so
whatever does it. So I did a little bit of like, just a touch of looking through your Wikipedia page. I don't normally do that. And I'm actually excited that I'm talking to people who have a Wikipedia page, which is a kind of a cool thing.
You.
So I saw that you did some work with Mandy Moore. Is that?
I did.
How did, just, was that like, was that anything worth talking about?
Well, I mean, I have a very interesting musical career, like history, because Brian Adams was my boss for like 7 years.
Was he really?
Yeah, I worked at his studio.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay.
In Vancouver, he owns a studio called The Warehouse. He's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy, like.
Actually, Keith Scott is one of my guys.
Oh, and he is a very, very nice
person. One of my favorite guitar players of all time. Oh, and some of the best stuff,
like,
yeah.
They're amazing. Like, his whole band is amazing.
That's great.
Mickey, his drummer, is like incredible.
He's had the same guys kind of since the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep, he's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was my boss.
Wow.
And so I will say that was when my musical career began. I was 19 years old and I started working at his studio.
Interesting.
And so I tried not to be the receptionist, and then I was the assistant manager, and I tried not to be like, hi, welcome to the studio, I'm a singer, you know, but people knew. And so Mandy was recording there and they needed some backup vocals. And so I did them. Like, it was just kind of
Did you tour with her, or was it just recording?
No, it was one song in that movie Saved. And I just can only assume they used my vocals for the movie.
You never know, right?
Never know for sure.
Well,
but yeah,
you sang on it though.
So. Mm-hmm, yeah, so I did that, and that was how I ended up I used to be in a band called Jackalope, and it was an industrial rock band of all things. And yeah, wow. Still the same person you're looking at. but they were looking for somebody who did not fit the norm of what you would think would be in a band with the producer who produced Skinny Puppy, and Trent Reznor was involved, and all these like industrial rock people, but yeah. They were looking for somebody who didn't fit that. And I was the little blonde girl at the front desk who liked country music. And I was asking like, would you want to try singing in this band?
Yeah.
And I said yes to everything. I auditioned for Disney things. I did that Mandy Moore thing. Like
right.
I did whatever it took.
Yeah.
And when I started doing when the Jackalope thing came about, they just like were like, do you want to try writing some stuff on some
sure.
songs? And before I knew it, I was working with Trent Reznor. But here's the thing. I didn't listen to Trent Reznor. So it didn't mean the same to me that it meant to
but
other people.
But it probably worked out better that way.
It did. That was why they asked me.
Yeah,
so it's
right.
like some people are like, oh my God, were you nervous working with Trent Reznor? And I was like, other than Closer, I can't name you a single Nine Inch Nails song. But that was what they wanted, was somebody who didn't do that.
Right.
So they wanted that fresh take.
Yeah.
And so that's how I ended up. So I have a very weird like
yeah.
career.
Sure.
Because of that.
Yeah.
But and Brian, like, I absolutely love him. I think he's an incredible human. I think he's hardworking, which is what reminds me all the time that Brandy and I aren't crazy. Because that guy would be the first person at the studio in the morning
uh-huh.
and the last person to leave. Like,
yeah.
he wasn't in town all the time, but when he was, I easily went to work 2 hours before I normally would, and he'd still
and
be
he'd
there
still
before
be there.
Me. And, like, that's a hardworking
wow.
man who I absolutely adore.
Yeah.
I respect him
well,
100%.
I got on a... I don't even know. You know what it was? It was because Aaron covers Cuts Like a Knife.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I got on a... I think I just was... I was looking up YouTube videos just to... Because sometimes you want to see somebody play this. Like, mm-hmm. not that I couldn't figure it out, but... And I got on... I was like, I forgot how much I love Keith Scott's playing. Mm. And I watched a whole recent... show of Bryan Adams somewhere in Canada
mm-hmm.
and it sounded incredible mm-hmm. like they're incredible. He did a version of God Only Knows by the
yeah,
Beach Boys
that, song. Yeah.
That I was like in my room crying, like just going, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. Yeah.
Well, that was
like,
the interesting thing about working for him is like I worked for him, so I saw him as my boss, but then when he would tour, we'd all go to the show and
right.
I'd go to the show and be like, my boss is a fucking rock star. Like, that guy,
yeah.
like, he is amazing. And, you know, he was there, actually, when we recorded So Nice Horse did two songs with Bob Rock.
That was the next question
and
I was
going to
get
to. And that's how I know
Bob. Okay, so you met Bob through Brian.
Yeah, through working at the studio. Because
oh,
Bob worked at the studio
right,
all the
okay.
time. And so Bob actually was going to do some work on Jackalope, and just it never worked
mm-hmm.
out. And when we started this band, we had thought of Bob very early on. And I was like, I got to tell Bob about my girl band because I think he'll really like it.
And we wanted to get... And we were kind of talking about him on, like, from a couple of different ways, too. Like,
mm-hmm.
and I... Because Katie knew Bob, and Krista and I, our experience at the warehouse was totally opposite. We actually were very close with Bob's engineer who engineered our record.
Okay.
But engineered our record at the warehouse, and this is how we would record it. We would come in after they were done sessions at like 1 a.m. and we would record through the night because we were the you know DIY indie band
right.
like and so
and
we would just
rate for the overnights kind of
exactly.
thing
exactly
yeah,
so
yeah,
we'd
yeah.
just be there in the middle of the night doing yeah. it and so
and I had actually hired Adam to work at the studio back
yeah.
in the day. Like, this is how mine and Brandy's life has been.
Yeah, again, you never know how
constantly
things, yeah.
like intertwined our entire
mm-hmm.
life sometimes
yeah.
I think yeah
so we were asking Adam to like you know like tell Bob that like about the project
mm-hmm.
and then Katie ran into him at the airport one day.
Yep. And I'm like, you gotta know about my girl band. And then he was like, Adam has actually mentioned your band to me.
Oh, that's cool.
And so we ended up doing these two songs with Bob.
What two songs did you do with him?
We did Hold Your Horses and Put Your Lips on Me.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Okay.
And
yeah.
we did those with him, but Brian was there while we were recording, and Brian was coming in and giving his opinions.
That's
he
awesome.
Wanted to sing backup songs
yeah,
too.
He pitched us a song at one point, like
His mom was there.
Yeah. It was
That's
awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Like, he is a guy that I could still probably email him right now and he would respond.
Yeah. That's incredible. Well, now I'm starstruck.
Yeah, I'll give you my autograph at the
okay,
end.
Okay, cool. I'll take it. Okay, good.
I will say working with Bob, too, was, like, such a It was such an incredible thing, and
did you learn things from him that you might not have known?
Yeah, just because the dude's a rock star doesn't mean he's not the nicest guy on the planet.
Produced everything.
And I think that that's maybe what I think one of the greatest things that I took out of that experience is we were such a fresh band, and there were points like we were all a little terrified to go in.
I bet.
His reputation completely precedes him, and we're this new band who I'm going to be brutally honest here. We started this band 3.5 years ago. Not everyone in this band played an instrument that was country band. Like, I mean, as I was telling you, Krista was a bassoon player in my last band.
Krista
did not play the drums 3.5 years ago.
You're kidding me. So she's like brand new at that?
Yeah.
You'd never know.
No, you wouldn't. Yeah. She's freaking incredible. As Bob Rock said.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
She was drumming, and we're terrified, right? And so she's in there. He's sitting with us. She's in the drum room.
And we're worried at the beginning. We're like, guys, do you think, like, if we suck, he's going to kick us out?
Yeah, like, we're terrified, right?
Right.
And then he, like, literally, like, turns it off for a second. He looks at us, and he goes, she fucking rocks. And we were like,
but here's Krista. But Krista, he says that to us. Yeah, not into the talkback. Krista's sitting in the booth. She's just done her first take, and she's sitting there and
terrified. Probably.
Terrified. Yeah. Nothing. Silence. He's not saying anything. And then he turns around and says to us, "She's fucking great." And then he says to us, turns around, into the talkback. Okay, do it again. and so here we are. We're like breathing a big sigh of relief, and Krista here is just still sweating in the
booth. We used to torture our drummer too, like in the early days. We would like look through the glass, and he'd get done with the take, and we'd give him the thumbs up, and we'd be like, "You suck, you suck," like, you know, and he'd be like, "Cool."
I love it.
Fun to mess with him.
Oh yeah.
So as we're almost at an hour, which is like. That's good. I do. You probably heard the stories from the road thing at the beginning of the episode you listened to, or maybe a couple. So, do you collectively or individually have any crazy road stories that you would be able to share here without getting lawsuits or getting me in trouble or getting yourself in trouble? Anything weird or anything moving or anything crazy that's happened to you?
I feel like there's so many things. This is why my mom tells me I should be keeping a diary.
I know.
See, when I put people on the spot with these things, like, most people are like, and then they'll call me afterwards and go, I should have said this.
And you know what's so funny is because I have listened to your podcast, and I actually remember thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, I need to think of a road story before we do this. Yeah. And guess what? I did not do that. Okay. No, I didn't do that. You know what's funny? And this is not moving, and I wish it was. It's not, but it's just kind of funny because this is a story from the first day we met you.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we're at that concert, and I had put my boyfriend on the guest list, and he called me, and we're backstage, and he called me and he's like, hey, they don't have my name on the list. And I'm like, okay, I'll run out and get you. And I ran out to grab him, and we're going back in, and the security guards stop us, and they're like, well, you can't go back here. And I'm like, I just came from here, and I'm playing, and they're like, no, I'm sorry, you can't come back here. And I am playing.
I promise you.
And she was like,
not having.
She's like, don't yell at me. And I'm like, oh, I wasn't yelling. And she said to me, she's like, you don't look like you're part of the Good Vins, is what she said to me.
Of the Good Vins.
The Good Vins. And I was like, well, you're right. I'm not the Good Vins. There is no the Good Vins here. And so she actually wouldn't let me back. I had to call.
Oh my God, that's funny.
I had to call one of these guys to actually come bring me back. So there's nothing more humbling of an experience than getting kicked out of your own show. And it happens.
Well, the weird thing is we've got these little, like, all access, you know, laminates kind of thing. And when I joined the band, I wasn't used to ever having that, almost ever. I would have a pass around my neck, maybe here and there for other artists I played with. And I always feel really pretentious wearing these things. But they've come in handy more than a few times where, people the people don't always pay attention to you leaving if you're running out to do something, and then if you have to come back in, you know, they don't they don't recognize you right away. So,
and it is literally the most humbling experience, right? Like, you're like, this is literally all I do. This is my only job, and I don't even think I do this.
Right.
You know what? I just, as we're talking about this, I thought of a road story that's actually not just a bunch of bullshit like me getting kicked out of our own show, but something that involves you and me. So our first tour ever, we opened for Tom Cochran. And
Life is a Highway.
Yeah, no, I know Tom Cochran, Red Rider,
right? And we were just like, it was such an amazing, we were floored. It was our first, our first tour ever.
We'd been a band for 6 months, and suddenly we're like, oh, you're opening for Tom Cochran.
Yeah. So you did a whole tour with Tom Cochran.
Yeah, so, and what happened was, it was like his Western Canadian run.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't a lot of dates, but we got along so well. And Katie and I had sang, like, he had also asked Katie and I to sing backups in his band. So we would play the opening set.
I just want you guys to know, we sang Life is a Highway with the guy who sings Life is a Highway. This ain't no cover song. This is really happening. This is one of the greatest moments of my entire life.
That's amazing.
We just got along so well with Tom and the rest of Red Rider that they kept asking us out for more dates.
That's great.
So we would keep coming out. And sometimes we would open it for them, or sometimes we would just sing backups for them in the show. And so one of these dates was you know what I'm gonna
say. I know where this is going.
One of these dates was one of these ones where we just
we're just singing backups.
Yeah, singing backups, and we get out on stage, and it was at Massey Hall.
Oh yeah, I'm familiar with Massey Hall. Yeah,
right. And so. And we're excited because this is our first time performing at Massey Hall.
Yeah, yeah.
We are pumped. And we get up on stage and we go to sing All the King's Men with him, which is like this, like, it's really intimate. It's Tom and Katie and I and Bill Bell on guitar, and it's just super intimate right at the front of the stage. And it's just one of my favorite moments of the show because we get to chat with Tom, and he's such a great personable man that it's just such a, it's always ended up being such a beautiful part of the set.
He's amazing.
And so he tells because we haven't opened for him, he's telling the audience about us, and he's like, and they're in this band called Nice Horse, and he's like, I tell you, he's like, they're real working girls. They're working girls. And the audience laughed, and he was horrified. He was like, I didn't mean it like that. And what he meant was that we were working girls, as in, like, we work hard, but we also had other jobs, because he liked at the time, like, and we still do, like, Katie and I both work for WestJet.
Do you really?
Yeah, and so he loved to say that we also worked for WestJet.
Oh my gosh, he'd make Brandy do the safety demonstration. It was so, when I say make, he didn't make her. He'd say, do the safety demonstration, and Brandy would go out.
Yeah.
He'd, like, WestJet is known for telling jokes, so then he'd call me out, and I'd tell a joke.
Yeah, like he loved it. It was such a, it was a really fun bit. But
it was fun.
So that's what he was trying to say, is that we worked so hard that we also worked on the side. So that happened, we sang the song, no big deal.
Right.
2 days later, we're opening for him, actually opening for him in Kitchener. And we play our set, no big deal. And then we're out at the merch table meeting people. And we notice, usually, because we were singing backups for Tom. So as soon as that first song would go on, we were on about the third song in.
Sure.
So we knew to get away, like, to get back and get ready.
Yeah, yeah.
And we noticed Tom hadn't gone on yet. And we're like, this is weird. Like, he's late. And then his tour manager, Jerry, comes out and says, girls, Tom needs to see you right now. And he's like hauling us backstage. We're like, what's happening? Like, we're like, are we getting in trouble? What do we do? And so we get rushed backstage. He's not on stage yet. He's in the screen room. And we get in there, and he goes, girls, he's like, I am so sorry about that comment 2 days ago. He's like, he couldn't go on stage
until he apologized
to you.
Until
he apologized.
Oh, which he had nothing to apologize for, because we all understood. He's such a nice
man. And that's the kind of man he is. I feel like he literally thought about that for 2 days. Wow. And couldn't like, he just had to tell us. He had to apologize.
That's amazing.
He's one of those people where I think it's one of the things I really admire about him is he looks like he has a conversation with you and he really appreciates, you can see how much he appreciates the people around him who have contributed to the career that he's had. And that's just, that just exemplifies that for me, how much he went out of his way just to make sure that we knew how, like, how apologetic he was and that he actually didn't think we were working girls.
He was wrong.
That's amazing. Two more questions, actually. Would you be willing to play a song for me, like, live here? Do you have, are you set up to do that, or do you feel like doing it?
I'm half cut. I've been drinking, but yeah.
Are you cool with that? Because I figure I have you. I mean, I'll play some of your music in the show, but it would be really cool to hear you.
Totally.
You
know? Just do like six string album.
Yep.
I love that song.
Who's gonna sing? Yep. Chris does. You sing it.
Oh yeah. Forgot we we're missing one of our lead singers here.
We're down one horse.
We're down one horse.
Put her out to pasture. Just
actually, we should do Hanks. Okay.
Whatever you're comfortable doing would be amazing. I don't care.
Well, then actually, you get to choose Hanks or six string.
Another one. Let's do Hanks because
this song is a really great one to do for us because this is a song that I feel really defines our time in Nashville.
Okay.
Because we were coming down here, and the whole goal of us coming down here more is, as you know, the Canadian group of people is so close-knit.
Sure. Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody seems to know everybody else.
Yeah, and it kind of tends to be, we end up being in this little club wherever we go.
Yeah.
And that doesn't, and Nashville's no exception. And
do you know the Barbers, Kirby and David?
Oh, yeah. Dave's my banjo teacher.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. There, I love them.
Yeah.
I just had coffee with David a few weeks ago. And really. And Kirby came out and did a run with us with Aaron when Matt's wife was having a baby. So he... Yeah, was sticking close to home. She's great. And funny, it's funny. Kirby and I really hit it off because we have the same bizarre, dark sense of humor that the other guys share to a degree, but Kirby and I had more of it. And there was something going on in one of the green rooms where she and I were just on this tear where we were just laughing our asses off and nobody else got it at all. And Aaron just turned to us and looked at both of us and he goes, "I'm so happy you two found each other." So I was like, "Do we just become best friends?" So I love her. She's great.
Yeah, and so crazy because of that, there's always that immediate danger. And I'm not saying it's danger. It's lovely that we can all find each other wherever we are. But when we come down here, we kind of want to get to know people who are, I don't know, not Canadian sometimes. So that was something that was really important to us. And we wanted to not just come down here. We didn't want Nashville to be a retreat where we go to write with other Canadians just somewhere different. We really wanted to get to know a lot of people here. This.
I'm going to give you a mic for your guitar.
Oh, sweet.
This way you can...
So this song was one of those first songs that we wrote here down here where we were like, we're not writing with a Canadian and this is so exciting. And we wrote this song with Ed Hill, and he was one of our very first writes with an American writer down here.
Yeah.
And we were obviously so excited because I mean Ed has written he's written George Strait tunes. Like, he wrote
Faith Hill, It Matters to Me. How about them cowgirls, George Strait?
Yeah, like
okay. Dude, it's amazing.
Yeah, and so for this song to me is just reminds me of how exciting Nashville is for us, and how many opportunities we've had in our career, and you just can't take any of them for granted, right?
Used to be my second home.
Amazing. Oh, the dog's nails. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if they loved it or hated it.
That's it. Thank you. Thank you both so much for taking the time to do this. It's been great. This is a lot of fun.
It was
I hope
so
you had fun.
Fun.
This was fun
yeah.
for me.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we
you.
Had a lot of fun.
Awesome. I'll see you probably in some cold little place in Canada.
That's where we always hang out.
That's right. This doesn't feel right. Thank you.
Alright, I hope you enjoyed my talk with Brandy and Katie of Nice Horse. I had so much fun with them that night. You can find them on Facebook by simply searching for Nice Horse, and they are Nice Horse Music on Instagram and Twitter, and also nicehorsemusic.com. And while you're at it, please give me a follow on the socials as well. I'm at Michael J. Music on Facebook and Twitter, and at Michael J. Official on Instagram. We also have a PayPal donation button on our website, tiopod.com. Consider throwing us a few bucks if you're feeling saucy to help us keep this show free and to help keep the power on over here. You don't have to donate, but I'll love you forever if you do. The ladies of Nice Horse have an EP called A Little Unstable and a full-length release called There Goes the Neighborhood and a few other singles available wherever you get your music these days. Go buy their music and catch them on the road if they come near where you currently live. They always put on a really great show. I'm going to leave you now with one of my very favorite tunes from their full-length release, There Goes the Neighborhood. This is a gorgeous song called Tonight. Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and I'll see you all again here next time on Turn It On.